2. Okay. Ephesians chapter 2, that's page 949 in your pew Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to begin reading in verse 1, so let's stand together this morning, reading verses 1 through 9 of Ephesians chapter 2. Very common Christmas message passage today. Let's read together. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Can you imagine getting around the tree Christmas morning, and there all the gifts are, and they're all wrapped in the same paper, and you're ready now to pass out the gifts, and there are no name tags on the gifts? So you're trying to remember, okay, what did we get Mom? What did we get Brother? What did we get little Johnny? You don't want little Johnny to get the gift from Victoria's Secret. And you don't want your wife to get the gift from Toys R Us. And so you're trying to figure out who gets what and what gift goes to what person. I remember one Christmas, I was about 8 years old. We were going to go on a Sunday night to another church, and they were going to have a Christmas program there. And then after the program, they were going to give gifts out to all the children. And so everyone was supposed to bring a gift, and on that gift, it was supposed to say to boy or to girl. Well, my mom went to J.M. Fields and bought a bag of little plastic soldiers, and that was going to be the gift. And she wrapped them up, and I told her, I said, Mom, I want that gift. Well, you can't have that gift. That goes to some boy. Mom, I want that gift. That's what I want. Can't we give that boy something else? Could you give him some? I want that. I want those little, I want those soldiers. No, we can't do that. Well, we went to the church that night. They had the Christmas program. Afterward, we were in the fellowship hall, and all the children were sitting on the front row, and they were passing out the gifts. Boy, and a boy, because I wasn't moving, because I saw what that present was wrapped in, and I was sitting there. Boy, girl, boy, girl. And they pulled out one, and the gentleman who was passing them out looked at it, and he stared at it a moment, and it was the plastic soldiers. And he said, Rodney. I did a Sherry happy dance, went and picked up my gift, and I noticed on it, boy had been scratched out, and my mom's little handwriting was written, Rodney. You see, the name tag means that I thought about you when I got this gift. The name tag says that I had you in mind when I got this. This isn't just for anybody. This is for you. This gift was picked out with you in mind, and the name tag says this gift is for you. Yesterday, I looked under our little table where our tree is, and there was a gift under there. It said, to my wonderful husband, and so therefore I didn't know who it was to. Oh, well, there we go. But I knew that gift was mine because I recognized the writing on that gift. You see, the name tag is vitally important because the name tag says that what is in this gift was purchased with you in mind. We read in our passage today that God has given us the gift. We've been saved by faith, and it's not our own doing. It is the gift of God. The Scriptures reveal that God sent His Son Jesus as a gift. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In John 4, verse 10, Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well, and He said this to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked Him, and He would have given you living water." Romans chapter 6, verse 23, Paul says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Jesus is God's gift to us. We talked about that last week with the wrapping of the gift. But why would God give such a lavish gift? Why would God give His own Son? Wasn't there another option, another way? Did God have to give this lavish gift? Well, we read it today. It says verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which He loved us." God gave such a rich gift because God is rich in mercy. I love how Ernest today defined to us what a proverb is. And I want to define what mercy is. Mercy is defined as compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. Someone has rightly said this: grace is when you get what you don't deserve. Mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. God's rich mercy. It was God, who is rich in mercy, gave us the gift. We who deserve punishment, we who deserve judgment, we who deserve the very worst that God could dole out. But God is rich in mercy. And because God is rich in mercy, He gave us the gift. He gave us His Son Jesus. But God is not just rich or lavish or extravagant in mercy. It is God's nature. It is God's heart to be rich and lavish and extravagant in everything He gives us. Psalm 34, verse 8, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." God is rich in goodness. The goodness of God, the fact that you and I are alive today, that we live in this wonderful country, that we have freedom to gather together and worship God, that we are in health, the goodness of God that we see every day in our lives. Wednesday, I had to work in Panama City, and I was leaving late that afternoon and driving back, and I was going down 23 to hit 231 to head toward the interstate. And I was just noticing that it was just lined up with places to eat. I mean, everything you could imagine. Outback, Panda Express, Po' Boys, Po' Folks, Hardee's, Whataburger, Krispy Kreme, beautiful Dunkin' Donuts that's recently been decorated on the inside. Now, I only know that because it was on the sign. I did not stop there. Hun. It was just loaded with places to eat. And I thought about what country in the world can boast in the goodness of God like we can, that is all around us. But God is not just rich in goodness, He is rich in grace. Ephesians 1 verse 7, Paul writes and says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us." Grace is not just given sparingly. Grace is not just dripped out. Grace is given by God rich. And then Paul said he lavished it on us. Lavished us simply means there is more grace there than you could ever use. There is more grace there than you could ever possibly deplete. The more of God's grace that you draw, it just keeps pouring and pouring and pouring. He is rich in kindness. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. In order that in the coming ages, we read it, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. God is rich in kindness. Not just goodness, not just grace, not just mercy. God is kind. You know, there's something about someone being kind to you. I can remember, and my sister can testify to this, when you were sick, I mean, you became the center of our mother's attention. I can't tell you how many times I can remember being sick and I would feel her come in and she would take the back of her hand and put it on your head to check you for temperature. She was just being kind. The kindness of a mother cannot even come in comparison to the kindness of God. In all the ways that he shows his gentleness, his kindness, he is rich in supply. Philippians 4, verse 19, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches by Christ Jesus our Lord. The riches of his kindness, the riches of his supply. There is no lack in heaven. There is no depression or recession. God is not trying to figure out what the Federal Reserve is going to do in the first quarter of 2020. God is not trying to make sure that he's getting a good enough return on his investments so that he can bless you. There is no limit to the supply of God. We serve a God who sits on a throne looking out over streets of gold. We serve a God who said that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. We serve a God who said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. There is no lack in heaven. There is no depletion of supply in heaven. No matter what you need, no matter what your situation is, God has it. The answer, God has the need, and it is bountiful supply. It's not just the bare minimum. He is rich in faith and love. 1 Timothy 1, verse 14, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. You and I will never deplete the faith and the love of God. There's a song that talks about the love of God, how rich and full, how wonderful. And there's a line in that song that says, if the heavens above were God's parchment and the ocean his ink, there would not be enough water in the ocean for God to write adequately and fully how much he loves you and how much he loves me. There are times that we feel, does anybody love me? Does anybody care about me? I'm alone. I'm hurting. I'm in pain. Does anybody care about me? I remember my first Christmas Eve after I went through a divorce. And I can remember going to Killarn Methodist for their candlelight service. And when I came out of that service, it was just pouring down rain. I mean, just one of those downpours. And I stood outside getting ready to run to my car, and I thought, this is just how it feels. Christmas Eve, alone in a rainstorm. I don't want to tell you, God, no matter what you're going through, no matter what face you're facing today, God is rich toward you in faith and love. God not only sees what you're feeling right now and where you're hurting right now, but God sees the good things that are ahead for you. God sees the blessings He has in store for you. God sees all the abundance that He's going to pour out upon you. God sees the faith and love that, even though you may not sense it, is being downloaded into your life and your situation today. And He's rich in hope. Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His people. God is rich in hope. I love what Zechariah, I believe it's Zechariah or Zephaniah, one of the Old Testament prophets, he said this, we are prisoners of hope. No matter where we are, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, no matter how bleak and how dark and how painful it may be right now, God is rich in hope. And God gives us that hope in abundance. Remember this? Last week, now it has something on it, has a name tag on it. Name tag that says this gift is from somebody to somebody. It says from your to you from your Father. God is rich in hope. No matter what your need is, God has a gift tag just for you. God has a gift tag with your name on it. With hope for you, with faith for you, with love for you, with goodness for you, with kindness for you. If you're sick, that name tag says He's the Lord that heals. If you need wisdom, that name tag says He's the God who gives wisdom liberally. If you're troubled, that name tag says it contains peace that passes all understanding. If you're grieving, that name tag says from the God of all comfort. If you're lonely, that name tag says from the friend who sticks closer than a brother. If you're overwhelmed, that name tag says from the one who carries your load. If you're hurting, that name tag says from the healer of hearts. If you're afraid, that name tag says from the light that shines in your darkness. If you're confused, that name tag says from the one who makes a way. If you feel like you cannot take another step, that name tag says, from the one who gives His angels charge over you to bear you up in your hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. God not only sent His Son Jesus as a gift, but God attached a name tag to that little baby. And the name tag said this, to a hurting, dark, dying, pain-filled, sorrowful world from a Father who loves you with a love without measure. What's the gift you need from the Lord this morning? If you knew that this box contained exactly what you needed, if you believe that the one who gave you this gift sees your life, hears your prayers, is concerned with your struggles and your concerns, you would grab this gift. It wouldn't be so much what was in it. It was what the name tag says. The name tag says to Rodney, from your Father. And I know that what is in that gift, what is in that little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger, He is and He contains and He embodies the very gift of God for what I need today. So my question to you today is this. What is it that you need? Do you need comfort? Do you need strength? Do you need hope? Do you need faith? Do you need to know that you're loved? Do you need to know that you are important in the eyes of God? Do you need to know that God sees your future and has it in hand? Do you need to know that God knows where that son, that daughter, that grandchild is today, and He already sees that path of reconciliation and restoration that He's working? Do you need to know that everything's going to be all right in your finances? Do you need to know that everything's is going to be okay in your body? Do you need to know that the steps you're taking are being ordered by God? I have a basket of name tags. They all say, the blank part two is blank, but they all say from Father, and every one of them has a different passage of Scripture. So what I'm going to believe today is this, that when you come and take one of these name tags, that it's going to be just the gift for you. Just like Christmas Day, you're going to reach under that tree and there's going to be a gift that says, to the best husband in the world, from Brenda LeGear. There's going to be something under that tree that has your name on it that's going to say to you, this was chosen with me in mind. So I'm going to ask you to come in just a moment, and I'm going to ask you to just grab a name tag. And whatever that passage of Scripture is, I want you sometime this week to read that passage of Scripture, whatever it is. And I promise you, there are none that say, and Judas hung himself, go ye and do likewise. But I want you to look at that passage of Scripture and say, Father, I'm going to believe that this is what you're saying to me right now. In Christmas 2019, this is what you're telling me. So, Father, I thank you today for the gift of your Son, Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that when he was wrapped in swaddling clothes, his mama and his daddy couldn't see it, but there was attached to him a name tag that says, to the world, from your Father, with all my love. And I believe today, Father, that these name tags in this basket are earmarked for someone here today. And it's going to speak to their heart. Holy Spirit, you're going to put the right name tag in the right hand. And that person is going to read that Scripture this week and say, Holy Spirit, I hear what you're saying, and I receive this today. So I thank you now, in Jesus' name, amen.